Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Dennis and Bill, this is episode number 227. And in a few minutes, we're going to have Ronja Kaminsky from the Pinpricks on. But before then, we're just going to do a quick pre-show. I don't think anybody has any vinyl or anything. Bill has that lovely Ages of Rock shirt that his beautiful wife made.
Yes.
Check that out. Oh,
but and the beautiful wife sitting right there.
Yes. There Hi, Lisa. Now Lisa
That's
gets
probably
to be
a tree
on the
that
show.
I showed.
See, Bill has, she was waving. Bill has a real tree in his background, and I got a fake tree in my background.
I have a real tree.
I off the top of my head, I can't think of any music news this week. Do you have anything, Bill?
I don't think so, except for, well, I missed Michael Bolton on Sunday night. That was supposed to be a show I was supposed to see this year.
Well, tonight we're filming this on Wednesday. Tonight is the night that Brian Harris was supposed to be in Nashville seeing Cheap Trick and Rod Stewart. So sorry about your luck, bro.
That'd be a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
I know Dennis said he had something he wanted to bring up.
The only thing I was going to bring up that since the last show, Pete Way had passed away. He was the bass player for UFO, but also one notably for me, Fastway. He was one of the originators in the
band. Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was him. And like I said, it's just too big. You know, he was 69 years old. Yeah, it was him and Fast Eddie Clark and formed that band, Fastway. He played on the first few albums. So, anyway.
Didn't know that.
But anyway, but other than that, I mean, like I said, this is nothing going on. I mean, just absolutely nothing going on.
Absolutely nothing going on.
No. But we have a good interview tonight. So, this is very interesting.
And cool. Good music, too.
Yeah. Yep. On that note, here we go with Ronja from the Pinpricks. Hey, folks, we have the lead singer of the Pinpricks here. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. Let the audience know who you are and what you do in the band.
I'm Ronja, and I play guitar, and I'm the singer.
And how long have the Pinpricks been together?
We are together now since 2016.
2016. That's awesome. And where are you guys from? Or I should say you guys and gal.
We are from Germany, a small town called Kiel in the north of Germany.
Now, I spent time in Germany in the late 80s and early 90s, pretty far there, about 45 kilometers southeast, I believe, of Hanover in a small town called Hessisch Oldendorf.
Okay, cool.
Out in the middle of nowhere. All right, so let's just jump right into this. Tell our audience a little bit about your music.
We do something like alternative garage rock, hard rock, and we are a trio. It's me and a bass player and a drummer. Yes, and we play in Germany most of the time, and we hope someday in America too. But yeah, so far just in Germany.
That's awesome. Yeah, hold on a second, Alan.
Hey, Ronja. So, Ronja, what were some of your influences? Where did you learn to play, and who kind of got you started on the guitar?
My father was the lead singer and lead guitarist of a band, and so I started playing guitar when I was 12 years old, and he was my teacher at the first years. And I loved the music of the 70s and listened to Eric Clapton, ZZ Top, Rolling Stones, and bands like that. But at the moment, I love bands like Royal Blood and Danko Jones, Highly Suspect, yeah, and such bands.
Yeah, I was just listening to your latest album just this morning again. And, you know, like I said, and Bill and I've talked, and we've talked about this a million times, this, you know, Alan, you know, that first song better come out of the gate and grab you pretty good. And I like that song. It's got some great, the guitar riffs are really good in it. I like a little bit of the, it's kind of, I mean, you say your genre is, but it's really different because you almost have that kind of, I don't want to say Joan Jett-ish kind of, with the callback, you know, you got the background vocals going along with you in your chorus. It's got that kind of punky sound to it also.
Yeah.
And I really like it. Like I said, I was listening to it. And almost some of the songs on the album also remind me of kind of the Pretty Reckless.
Thank you.
There's a lot there. We used to do a couple of their songs, and it your voice and the way you do things kind of reminds me of that. That's kind of that same genre or something, if you want to say.
Yeah, thank you. I love Taylor Momsen, so thank you so much.
You do really good. You do really well. Alan, go ahead. Sorry.
What brought your band together?
The first we had another drummer, and that was, yeah, just we had on a magazine we wrote we search a drummer on the classical way, and then we found him, but it doesn't really work so good because he just wanted to do it like a hobby in his spare time, and he didn't really want it to go on tour and do gigs, and so we searched a new drummer. And Rico is now, since I think 2018, our new drummer. And Niels is my boyfriend. And we are together now since 10 years. And I think it's now 7 years ago, I told him, do you want to play bass in our band? Want to learn it? And he said, okay. I never played any instrument in my life. And he played soccer a long time, but nothing had anything to do with music. And I said, oh, it's not so hard. You can do it. And so, yes, he learned it. And now I think he does a very good job.
So Bill, there is hope for you. You know,
even at 54, are you saying I have a chance?
Of course. Do it.
Bill, if it makes you feel any better, I never started playing bass till I was 31.
Oh, I know. It doesn't make me feel better at all. I still got like 23 years on that. So there you go. 21. Yeah, whatever.
That's a good story though.
That's awesome. So, yeah, you guys have to stick together then, or the band breaks up. That's not good. So you're stuck.
That's awesome. So playing guitar then, what is your guitar of choice and amp of choice? I mean, I know you got a really good sound. I like the way the guitar sounds on the album.
Thank you.
What are you using? What's your axe of choice?
I love my SG guitar.
Right.
And I only play her because a long time I played a Les Paul, but I fell in love with the SG, and right. I only use her now. And I play two amps, the Orange amplifier and Mesa Boogie.
Right.
And yeah, I played at the same time. So
is it like a triple rectifier, double rectifier type heads, what you're using? Or, yes.
Right.
Orange has become a really popular amp. I know we deal with a lot of musicians out of Nashville, and Orange has become, every time you see these guys playing out, you see a lot of people playing Orange amps. So I guess they got that, a lot of that. I think they got a really old kind of early British, you know, Marshall British sound.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, I think with that, with the, like I said, making it with the Mesa too, that's got a great sound too. So I had one, but I ended up going with the 5150 type.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you call your SG a she. Does she have a name?
No. Not yet. Maybe someday.
Wait, Dennis, do you call your guitars she or he? I've heard that before. I've heard people do that. I've heard people do that before. Not, I mean, I have heard that.
BB King, you know, BB King had Lucille. You know, I mean, and I think people do that. I mean, people call their cars names and all that stuff. I just never been one of those people that do that. I mean, I've got guitars and I've got favorite ones, but I don't really give them a name. Usually I cuss. I give them cuss words because
they usually call them a bitch.
I get mad, you know. It's like, damn it, I can't get this right. I can't do this right. So yeah, I'm cursing at it more than I'm fully, you know, loving it. Maybe I should love them more. I guess maybe is what I need.
Every time I try to play, it's damn it. So or something else. So I don't think that's the name that he, she, whatever wants to stick with. So maybe I'm not, maybe like to your point, I'm not being nice enough to him. I'm not loving him enough. We got to put some more love on him.
Well, and an SG is a good, I mean, actually, you know, cause it's kind of the next thing after a Les Paul. It's so much lighter. You know, Les Pauls are great guitars, but they're so heavy. I mean, I like mine, but it's not, you know, after you're wearing it all afternoon, you know, evening, it hurts. Yes, SG will get you into that Gibson sound, same humbug.
It feels like a real guitar because it's so light.
Exactly. But they got a great sound. So, yeah, it's a good choice. Good choice.
I think so, too.
Awesome.
Now, you said you've been playing around Germany. Have you been touring with anyone of note, or are you touring with other local musicians? How's that working out for you?
Yes, we tour with, I think, local bands, but maybe you know the band The Brew from UK, maybe. Mm-mm. We will play with them next year. Because of Corona, we couldn't do the tour this year, but we will do it next year. And I think The Brew is the most popular band you maybe know.
So how is that affecting Germany? I mean, you guys are about the same as we are. I mean, we're basically, you know, we have restaurants at certain, you know, 50%, and bars have very, you know, there's very little music going on. Yes. Is that the same? Is it same in Germany, I guess, basically?
Yes, it's the same. We had to cancel every gig and... Wow. But here in Kiel, there's 1 week in the year. It's called Kieler Woche. And now they want to try to do it in September and have a small stage and want, I don't know how they want to do it, but want to play concerts there. So I'm looking forward and hope that it's work, but right. I'm not sure.
So have you guys tried? I know a lot of the people around here have been doing like these virtual concerts where they actually set up and do Facebook and yes. Facebook Live, and then they'll have like a PayPal account set up, you know, just to make some money, because I mean bands are struggling. I mean they're just, you know, they're going out of the box trying to figure out how to get music out there, and you know, they want to play. We want to hear it. So have you guys tried something like that or thought about that?
Yes. We first tried it at our own, in our rehearsal room via Facebook. And the people loved it. And the reaction was so great that we said, okay, we have to do it again in a better location and better sound. And then we did it in... the garden of our dentist, because he really loves us, and he said, yeah, of course you can do it in our garden, it's okay. And you can watch it on YouTube now. It was a live stream, but you can still watch it, and it was very great. And I think the people love it that they can see anything. So yeah, it was fun, but we really miss the real concerts.
Trust me, we do too. We're yes. It's been, we actually have our the podcasters have a big convention every year in Nashville, and this is actually the weekend it was supposed to be. And we're all okay. Jones and everybody on Facebook's going, you know, I could have been right now. I'd be sitting, you know, having a beer with you guys and maybe this and that and having listening to music. And it's just, everybody's bummed out. It's just really, it's not fun.
No.
Anyway. Rhonda, can you talk a little bit about the latest record and, you know, title and, you know, some of the tracks on it for us?
Yes. The title is called Bait, and we wanted to, you know, the cover, I think, you know, the woman, and and we wanted to do something contrary, because the female look and the woman, the gentle, pretty look, and under the water, it's the bad, dangerous monster. And yes, we wanted to do something contrary, because our music is sometimes it's hard and heavy, and sometimes we have this sad ballad. So yes, our music is also very different, so we choose this name and cover.
Well, the cover is really cool.
It is cool.
It's really neat. And when you talk about it, it makes sense when you look at it. It's a really cool cover, for sure.
Thank you.
So what I noticed on here, and I listened to it. Like I said, I went through it again earlier today. I've listened to it three or four times in this last couple of days. But you added Foxy Lady as a cover. What made you decide that song? What is there a special? I mean, something, this song you really liked. I know you said you love 70s music and late 60s, early 70s.
It's because we play it so long time, and I think it was one of the first songs I learned, and we always play it live and people love it, and so we said, okay, let's do it now, let's record it. And I love the song, I love the feeling, and we wanted to do something, our own thing, our own Foxy Lady. And I love the song, I love Jimi Hendrix, so
it's got a bit, I mean, it sounds like the song, but like you said, it's your version of it. I mean, it's jazzed up, or not jazzed up, but rocked up. It sounds really good though. I really liked it.
Thank you.
That was a very good job.
I noticed that when I listened to it too, I expected to hear more of a traditional, just I don't know, copy version of the song, and it wasn't like that at all. It's definitely got a different take to it, and I think you did a good job of with the arrangement and making it, you know, fresh. It sounds pretty good. I mean, if you listen to it today and nobody knew that it was an old song,
cool.
It's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Thank you.
So do you do most of the writing then, or do you guys write? And I think we might have covered that a little earlier, but I mean, is that lyrics and music, or do you guys kind of share some of that stuff, and has it kind of grown over time?
The lyrics I do by myself, and the music is sometimes the first idea comes from me or from Niels, the bass player, but the whole song we always write together, and in the rehearsal room we jam and then we completed it together. So it's important for me, because if one person just write the song, it's different if all members have ideas, and I like it more if there are more people are more people write the song and
giving input and providing So are you in the studio at the same time then when it's being recorded, or where are you recording at home, or how are you doing that?
Yes, we recorded in a studio in Hamburg, and we write the songs in our rehearsal room and just record them in the studio. Mm-hmm. Then, yes.
It's nice, you know, so many times anymore, what you typically hear about are bands that are, you know, somebody will do the lead part, then they will ship the lead part to the rhythm guy that will ship his part to, you know, back to the drummer to do, and it's, you know, it's the convoluted kind of put together kind of thing. So it's nice. And I think it does bring a different aspect to the music. You can definitely, you know, I don't know if you can actually tell, but there's a different level of energy, I think, in those records that everybody's kind of together and you're pushing each other to do better and that kind of stuff. So it's nice to hear that still happens.
Yes, of course.
So how are you distributing this album internationally?
We have a small label called Toa Noll. It's a really small label here in Kiel, and we can send our CDs and vinyls to Europe, but I think America is different, difficult because it's very expensive to send it. But for Europe, our label sends the records, and yeah, it works, and that's good.
Well, you have the album on Spotify, so I would assume that people could find it on iTunes and Amazon Music and other such places.
Right. Spotify, Amazon, and Google Play, everywhere.
Cool. Yeah. So you said you were doing some, whenever you go out on tour, you've been doing a lot of stuff. Who would you like to go out and for a support band? Who would you like to, in your eyes, what would be your fantasy? These are who I want to play with.
I think I would love to play with Danko Jones, or Royal Blood, but maybe also with Pretty Reckless, because I think it fits together, the genre, and yeah, I think that's my favorite bands now.
Good deal. No, I mean, we've talked to people before, and they're like, I'd like to be able to do this and do that. And so have you been, for the people that you have played with and met and stuff like that, have they been real supportive? I mean, as far as, you know, giving you guys shots and all that stuff, you know, as far as a positive outlook is what I'm looking for.
I didn't get it right, I think.
Pardon?
Can you ask again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, whenever you go out on these, when you're playing with other bands and stuff like that, has the support been really good? I mean, as far as people coming up, liking what you're doing, and, you know, as far as helping you guys out and being supportive.
Yes, of course. But I think it's very difficult to find the bands to play together because I think the bands who have success, they don't want to play with small bands like us. And if there's a band like us, sometimes they don't want to connect to other bands. I don't really understand why, but sometimes it's like we are better and we don't want to play with you. And it's so like, and I say, okay, I think everyone has a different music taste. So I like it more if we support us and support other bands and do it together. And not like this. It's not an enemy or something like that. I think we can do it together.
Right. No, what the reason I was asking that is, you know, we've talked to some younger bands like that, and it's just, you know, you get into a situation where a bigger band, they almost get jealous. I mean, especially if you go out there and you do a great set, you know, they got to step their game up. So there are bands out there, some of the bigger bands that will pick a band that they know are either not going to do well or they're going to, you know what I'm saying? They almost hope that they don't sound as bad. You know, that's why they give them the sound that's not quite as clear and everything. They just kind of, because they don't want to be shown up. And I've seen that actually happen. You know, you've got a band, an opening band, it just basically comes out and tears it up so bad that this, you know, they just, it's like, they're ready to go home. but anyway, that's what I was trying to get to.
So. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Bill, Alan.
Tell our listeners where they can find you online.
We have a website. It's thepinpricks.de. And there we have all informations and music and videos and everything you need to know. And also, of course, on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and yes, all the social media platforms.
So is the YouTube video you were talking about previously in the your dentist's garden, is that under, do you have it under your... under, like, if you looked at YouTube, just look for the Pinpricks and you'll be able to find it pretty easy.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. It's very easy to find. Yes,
I will be watching that later because I want to see a live thing of it, especially in the garden. I want to see
he just wants to see the garden.
Why not? No, just to see some live music, no matter how, whatever form it is, it's nice to sit down and actually hear some live music.
So, yes.
Even though it's not live, but it is live. So.
Yeah. Right. It was live.
I have one final question for you.
Okay.
Where did the name The Pinpricks come from?
I love Pink Floyd, and they had a song, or have a song called Comfortably Numb. I think you know the song.
Just a little pinprick.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. And this song was always a very important song for me, and I love the song so long. And I always loved the sentence and the meaning of it. And yeah, so I asked my members, "Hey, we want to call us the Pinpricks," and they say, "Yeah." So, and that we had a name. So, it's
very interesting.
I think that, you know, I love those when a band comes with a name just from some kind of reference. It's something that's kind of obscure. Not everybody's going to get, but the people who do get it completely get it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, as soon as you said Pink Floyd, I was like, just a little pinprick.
Yeah.
So I do get it. That's very good. I like that.
Very good.
Awesome.
All right. Well, hang out for a second as I take us out of here, but we appreciate you coming on the show.
Okay. Thank you. Folks, thanks for having me.
Always. As always, everyone, visit us on 80sofrock.com. Check out our social media and past episodes. And until next time, peace out. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.